So since September, we've been going through a series of scriptures. It's known as the narrative lectionary. Its design is to help us as a congregation go through the entire story arc of scripture in one period of time from September all the way to Pentecost, and I guess which is early June this year. The design is over 4 years. We use different scriptures to keep retelling this story over and over. We started all the way back in Genesis. We talked about Abraham and Jacob, and we've gone through the prophets. And during those times, we launched through long years of time and went across great distances until we've come to the point now where we've hit the story of Jesus, and the scriptures have sort of slowed down for us. I think that it's like driving down the interstate when you're driving from here to, say, Oklahoma City on I-35. Some of us, you know, the speed limit's 75, which means our cruise control's set on 84, and, well, not me, but except when you get the road construction or the sign that there's something up ahead, and then you get the slow down marker that says go down to 40 and 30, because you want to make sure that you don't pass too fast, so that you make sure that you are alert for everything that's around. And that's kind of what we're doing now. As we enter into the Gospel of Luke, we've gone through from when Jesus was born, we've gone through the baptism, and now we've begun in his ministry, and it's slowing down even more as we talk about it. So today we are just hours from where we were last Sunday when we talk about this message. It was reminded before I start talking about today's lesson, I wanted to remind, there was a story I heard. This little boy named Johnny was really excited, and he walked up to his pastor just beaming. And he said, "Pastor, I asked God for a bike, but then I realized that God doesn't work that way. So I stole a bike and asked for forgiveness." The saying goes, always borrow money from a pessimist, because they don't expect you to pay it back. You know, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. A train station is where the train stops. A bus station is where a bus stops. On my desk, I have a workstation. Okay, you're a little slower on that one. Shattered expectations. That's what each one of those little phrases I just gave you does. It shatters the expectations set up by the first part of the sentence. It changes your perspective. It makes you think about it differently. And it surprises you with a new message. In today's text, this is exactly what we have John or Jesus doing when he talks about John. You see, the disciples of John are coming up to Jesus. And you remember who John is? He's the cousin. He's the one who was preaching before. He's the one who baptized Jesus. But he had his own set of disciples. And then he got political, and he told Herod that he shouldn't have married his brother's wife, and that made him upset, so he threw him into prison. So John is in prison when Jesus is really beginning this ministry. And so you can kind of think of him looking out through the bars, trying to jump up and see what's going on, but he can't get anything but secondhand information about Jesus. So he takes and asks his disciples, he sends them out to Jesus, and he says, "Find out, is he really the one we're expecting? Or should we look for another? Is he really going to be the Messiah that has been prophesied? I need to know for sure." That was the question that was asked to Jesus. But first, let's think about that for a moment. What was the expectation of John and his disciples of who the Messiah would be? Well, for John, like most of the people of Israel at that time, they knew the Messiah was prophesied to be the son of David. And who was David? David was the warrior king. He was the one who made Israel into a great kingdom. He was a fighter. He was a warrior. And if the Messiah was going to be the son of David, it only makes sense that the Messiah too was going to be a warrior. And a lot of the literature of the time, we don't get it in our scriptures of Old and New Testament, but written in between there are a lot of books that talk about the Messiah being the warrior king who's going to help the people of Israel come out from under the bondage of the Romans, from the cultural stifling of the Greeks. And it's going to free them. This new warrior is going to come and free the people of Israel. That would be the expectation that John and his disciples had in mind when they walked up to Jesus and said, "Are you the one we expect? Because pretty soon we're going to expect you to start telling us about the armies and where we can sign up." Jesus never answered their question. I don't know if you noticed that in the text, but Jesus never answered their question because he knew what their expectation was of the warrior king. Because the warrior king had one job. Well, two, really. The warrior king had two jobs: defeat them and protect us. Right? Defeat them and protect us. That was the job of the warrior king. That was the job that John's disciples had in mind for the Messiah. We want somebody to defeat them and keep them out of our business. And we want somebody who protects us in our way of life. That's what we want. So when they were asking that question to Jesus, he never answered them. Instead, he told them to look around. Look around at what you see. The poor hear the good news. The sick are healed. The blind see, the lame walk. Jesus turns on his head their idea of what the Messiah was supposed to be. Jesus defeats the idea of us versus them. When Jesus reaches out to the most wretched, the most hurting in their culture, he says them becomes more important than us. Think about where we were a few weeks ago when Jesus first starts his ministry. He reads from the text of Isaiah in the synagogue of Nazareth, and then he gets them all worked up and he tells them the story of how Elijah and Elijah, they healed people who were not within the kingdom. The widow that wasn't Jewish, the general who wasn't Jewish. That's what made them upset. Jesus reinterpreted the rules. The rules that separate us and them. Right? Jesus works on the Sabbath. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He abolished the rules that even allow us and them to exist. And then when he teaches, Jesus says, love them, pray for them, heal them. For Jesus, as the Messiah, protecting us is not the priority. Serving them becomes the priority. Giving ourselves away in the service to them becomes the motto of the new kingdom. It is no longer us and them. We are all them. Christians should become citizens of this kind of kingdom because this is the Christ we are following. You know, the good news is this, that Jesus came, loved, served, died, rose again for everyone. Coming to church makes us a Christian, like standing in the garage makes us a car. Our expectations, John's expectations, they're different than Jesus. Coming to church makes us a Christian, like standing in the garage makes us a car. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.